Hello, Poetry Salon Cast listeners. This is Tricia Faye Hefner of the Poetry Salon Cast, and I have some exciting news. For those of you who follow my co-host, Kelly Grace Thomas, on social media, you may already know this, but she has a new baby. And as some of you probably know, Kelly loves poetry and is very reluctant to step away from anything that puts her in contact with poets. But she decided to take some time off to enjoy being a new mother. And when she made that decision, she and I had a little conversation, and we both decided immediately that the first person we wanted to ask to co-host the Poetry Salon Cast in her absence was the poet Douglas Manuel. And some of you may remember that Doug and I had a great conversation all the way back in season one about his book, Testify, from Red Hen Press. And we were so delighted that he was able to make some room in his schedule to come onto the Salon Cast and co-host with me and talk poetry. And so I would like to formally welcome and reintroduce you all to Douglas Manuel. Doug, how are you doing? What is up?
Hello, hello. I'm doing just fine. And I'm so, so excited to be joining you with hosting this. We're going to have a great time and everybody's going to learn a lot and talk a lot about poetry. Yay.
Yay. So I think the last time I talked to you, I think it's only been 2 years, but a lot has changed. What's new for you? What are you up to? I think you've finished. Last time I talked to you, I think you hadn't yet finished your PhD program, and now you have. So what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I have finished up the PhD at USC. I recently was rewarded the Bainyard Rustin Fellowship at Whittier College. So I'm teaching a pretty light load there and working on my third book, because I also had the opportunity to finish up. I'm still kind of working on it, but it's pretty much ready for the city, my second book, Trouble Funk.
That is awesome. First of all, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't really know what a fellowship is. I know a lot of writers that I admire have them and list them on their bios, and I feel like I want one. What is it exactly?
Well, there's all kind of different kinds. Usually it's just some kind of funding and support for you to be able to do your work. So with some of them, you know, you just get a large sum of money blessed upon you. Some of them, you're sent somewhere to do something. Like in January, I'll be going to Chiapas to work on a translation project and develop some new poetry. Or in this case, they are giving me a very reduced teaching load and expect me to produce some new scholarship and some new poetry while I'm doing that and getting acquainted with the Whittier Way and Whittier College.
Oh my God, that is living the dream. People paying you to sit down and do some reading and thinking and more writing. You said you're going to Chiapas to do a translation project. Does that mean you're going to be translating poetry from Spanish into English, or tell me more about that?
Hopefully I'll be able to get paired with, you know, a local poet there and be able to bring some of their work to the United States in English. And also, I think it'll be kind of that space whenever I change locations, that in many ways I'm a poet of place. And whenever I change locations, it definitely influences my writing. You know, it's a different hemisphere of just like what it'll do. You know, the seasons are all flipped around. I'm sure you know all about that in Costa Rica. So yeah, it's going to be a whole different jam. So I'm really, really excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm super excited to hear more about this translation project, as I am every day is a really badly executed translation project for me.
So like, yeah, it's going to present a whole bunch of challenges, but I think being two books deep and getting ready for a third one, I think I'm ready to hear somebody else's voice a lot instead of my own. That's what a lot of people who do translation talk about, that it's really interesting letting somebody else's voice and headspace into your own head.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's one of the best things you can do when you're sick of your own work is go be involved with someone else's for a little while, get a little break from your own head and hopefully fill up with something magical from theirs. Speaking of your second book and your third book, tell us a little bit about those. I think you told me that your second book already has a publisher. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to stay with the hen. Being with Red Hen has been really good for me. I really like being in with a press that's in Southern California that's right here in Pasadena. It's really awesome for me. So, yep, coming with the Red Hen one more time. Trouble Funk will be out, I believe, in spring of 23. So still got some time, still tightening up and everything, but pretty much the bones and scaffolding are intact. And I'm very, very, very excited about the project.
Definitely, mm-hmm. Listeners, you should be looking out for Doug's next book, Trouble Funk. Is that all one word?
No, two words. It's actually after a go-go band from late 70s and early 80s. This text is pretty much kind of serves as a prequel to Testify. So I'm imagining the space in which the speaker of Testify's parents got together in the late 70s and early 80s. And just like my father was a DJ, the speaker of Testify's father is a DJ as well. So a lot of the poems take their titles from songs he liked to spin and bands that he liked to listen to, he being my father at the time.
That title is pretty awesome. Like, I'd probably get it, but on the title alone just sounds very engaging.
Well, I'm going to provide a Spotify playlist with the book. The way that texts work is that each one of the poems is titled after a song my dad liked to spin. So we have kind of two meaning-making systems happening, like what the songs are doing, that's kind of a soundtrack behind the scenes, and then with the, of course, the content of the poem. Yeah, there'll be a playlist, so you'll get to, you know, get your funk on a little bit.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. I mean, I have a million questions about Trouble of Funk, but we're here not just to talk about your work, but to talk about what we're going to do on the Salon Cast. We should probably tell the listeners, Doug and I have actually already done a ton of interviews with different writers. So we're actually recording this preview post-podcasting, and we just have a bunch of writers that were so juicy to talk to. I think one thing we did not really plan on, but has been really a lot of fun, is somehow every episode we have to wind up asking the writers about their astrological signs. I think maybe there was like one author or two we didn't ask because it wasn't planned. It just kind of emerged organically. But if you believe in astrology or you like astrology or you just think it's fun to think about, you're definitely going to enjoy our interviews and you're going to find out which of our writers are what signs and whether or not they believe that has any impact on them.
Yep, yep, yep. Another meaning-making system for the world. We're totally in it on this podcast, my friends.
Yep. So, Doug, on this upcoming season, we have some fabulous poets. We've got great guests like Kai Coggin, Megan Sterling,
Kelly Russell Agadon, Dianelli Antigua, and Tanea Winder,
as well as Marcy Vogel, who I will be interviewing as a special episode about poets writing novels as part of National Novel Writing Month.
Yay, Marcy! Her work is so exciting. We were colleagues at USC. She's so cool. She works in translation. She writes essays. She writes fiction. She does everything.
Oh, that's so fabulous. So, Douglas, I just got to say, this has been so much fun to interview all these poets with you. And before we go, I have been wanting to ask, you know, I think everyone kind of knows my favorite poets who I bring up over and over. Who would you recommend people read right now?
I think whenever I'm tasked about who's my favorite living poet, I always say Yusef Kumanyika. Just always have been so brutally humbled and amazed and challenged by his work. Also, somebody who I think people don't read enough is Bob Kaufman. I'm a Bay Area associated with the beat scene. And he's just a really, really awesome political surrealist poet who was really, really, you know, ahead of his time. I think I'll throw those two names out here just for now because you caught me off guard. So that's the best I can do right now.
That's good. I did it on purpose too. Kumanyika though, man, he was one of the first poets that I was introduced to when I was a new poet. And boy, did that set the bar high for me. Thank you. I think it was Eloise Klein Healy who introduced me to Kumanyika. We're going to have a lot more fun talking about different poets that we love, that our guest poets and featured poets want to recommend to us to keep the inspiration going. So listeners, we are looking forward to sharing the space with you throughout the rest of this season. And stay tuned for more great poetry interviews from the Poetry Salon Cast.
Yay!